You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Seven minutes after 8 on a Friday morning. Mike McNamara with you. All Marine Radio continues. Joining me, a dude from Mississippi. What's up, JD?
How's it going, Matt?
JD Harrell, I'm going to out him, all right? He teaching high school in Mississippi and doing some other stuff. And former Lieutenant Colonel, he and I battle buddies times two. And so you're gonna hear him, and Jess Humphrey will join us in a minute. And we are all professional Marine officers, and we're gonna talk about a few things relative to General Allen's speech last night. And we're gonna talk about a couple questions, fundamental questions, and then we'll move it around after that. One, as a military guy, should he have spoken? Okay, should he have spoken? And then two, what did you think of his remarks? So I'm going to play his remarks here, and then, JD, you're going to sit there and listen, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then we're going to, then we'll come back on, and we'll have a little bit of a round table, and, we'll talk with JD, and then at the top of the hour, at the 9 o'clock hour, we'll have two other Marine officers, Jack Hoban, going to join us along with Mike Pesnola. Mike, you heard earlier this week, and Jack, you heard, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks ago or so, towards the end of June. And both impressive guys. Jack gave us a concept of presilience, and I often quoted, and he talked about Jess Humphrey's dad, a guy named Robert Humphrey, and who is having a profound impact on the program, I have to tell you. And his book is entitled Living Values, Values for the New Millennium. So anyway, so it's by Robert L. Humphrey. You can find it on Amazon. And it's about being tough and also, though, treating people well and standing behind what you say, things America stands for, and Robert Humphrey, a platoon commander on Iwo Jima. So, who passed away. And, but anyway, that's what we're doing this morning. And it's one of the things I love most about what I do is smart guys talking about tough questions and not being afraid to give an opinion. So, having said that mouthful, JD's in the holding pattern, and you're going to hear the introduction to General Allen's remarks, and you'll hear his remarks, and then we'll come back and discuss it. It's the whole thing's about 11 minutes, I want to say. So, without further ado, audio from last night's Democratic National Convention being held in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. This is the intro music, okay.
Good evening. I wasn't born in America, but I serve this great country every day. As a colonel in the United States Air Force Reserves, as a member of Congress, and as an immigrant whose parents chose this great nation, I care deeply about who serves as our commander-in-chief. And I can't wait till January 20th when that person is Hillary Clinton. But you don't have to serve in Congress or serve in the military to demand that the person we entrust with the safety of our country, the lives of our troops, and the launch codes for nuclear weapons has a steady hand. All you have to be is a voter. You know, the scariest part of Donald Trump's acceptance speech wasn't the apocalyptic vision of America that he believes he sees. It's that he said, I alone can fix it. Every military commander I've ever met knows that you can't do it alone, you can't be brash, and you can't make stuff up. Because when you ignore the facts, people will die. Hillary Clinton knows that each of us and all of our elements of national power make us stronger. Smart diplomacy, a powerful economy, educated children, we are stronger together. You know, Donald Trump said, and I'm not making this up, I know more about ISIS than the generals do. Well, please welcome to the stage the four-star general who knows more about ISIS than anyone, the president's former special envoy to the Global Coalition Against ISIS, retired General John Allen.
By the way, you could tell who the Marines were in the crew. Hear that music? When the big boom hits, the left foot strikes the deck, okay? If you watch it over, you could tell.
My fellow Americans, I stand with you tonight, a retired four-star general of the United States Marine Corps. And I am joined by my fellow generals and admirals, and with these magnificent young veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan. They went there and they risked their lives because they love this country. They are here before you because this most consequential election is the greatest one in our memory for the President of the United States. The stakes are enormous. We must not, and we could not, stand on the sidelines. This election can carry us to a future of unity and hope, or to a dark place of discord and fear. We must choose hope. Every American in uniform, in the White House or at home.
USA!
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 USA! We must be a force for unity in America, for a vision that includes all of us, every man and woman, every race, every ethnicity. Every faith and creed, including the Americans who are our precious Muslims, and every gender orientation. All of us together, pursuing our common values. My fellow Americans, from the battlefield to the capitals of our allies and friends and partners, the free people of the world look to America as the last best hope for peace and liberty for all humankind. For we are the greatest country on this planet. So we stand before you tonight to endorse Hillary Clinton for the President of the United States of America. We trust in her judgment. We trust in her judgment. We believe in her vision for a united America. We believe in her vision of an America as a just and strong leader against the forces of hatred, the forces of chaos and darkness. We know that she, as no other, knows how to use all instruments of American power, not just the military, to keep us all safe and free.
USA!
My fellow Americans, I tell you without hesitation or reservation that Hillary Clinton will be exactly the kind of commander-in-chief America needs. I know this. I know this because I served with her. I know this as the former special presidential envoy to the global coalition to counter ISIS. With her as our commander-in-chief, America will continue to lead this volatile world. We will oppose and resist tyranny, and we will defeat evil. America will defeat ISIS and protect the homeland. America will honor our treaty obligations. We will lead and strengthen NATO and the Atlantic Alliance and our allies in East Asia and around the world, whom we have sworn a solemn oath to defend. My fellow Americans, we will stop the spread of nuclear weapons and keep them from the hands of dangerous states and groups. Our armed forces will be stronger. They will have the finest weapons, the greatest equipment. They will have the support of the American people. You and the American military will continue to be the shining example of America at our very best. Our veterans will be thanked by a grateful nation, and they will be cared for in the manner they deserve for the sacrifices they have made for all of us, for this great country, and for world peace. Ladies and gentlemen, but I also know that with her as our commander-in-chief, our international relations will not be reduced to a business transaction. I also know that our armed forces will not become an instrument of torture, and they will not be engaged in murder or carry out other illegal activities. With Hillary Clinton as our commander-in-chief, the United States will continue to be that indispensable, transformational power in the world to our allies and to our friends and partners. Listen closely. We are with you. America will not abandon you. To those acting against peace, acting against civilization and the world order, we will oppose you. And to our enemies, we will pursue you as only America can. You will fear us, and to ISIS and others, we will defeat you. Ladies and gentlemen, my fellow Americans, my fellow veterans, this is the moment, this is the opportunity for our future and that of the world. We must seize this moment to elect Hillary Clinton as President of the United States of America. Thank you, and God bless you, and God bless America.
There you have it. 8:21 here on a Friday morning. Mike McNamara with you, and I'm joined by Jess Humphreys. Jess, good morning. How are you?
Oh, Mac, good to be with you. JD, good to be with you too.
JD Harrell continues with
you.
So let's talk about it. First of all, a couple basic questions. One, as a military officer, should he have spoken And then we'll talk about that here for a few minutes. So, Jess, first to you, military officer involved in politics. Yes, no, should he have spoken?
Yeah, I have no problem with that at all. I think the historical precedent is that when you've got a retired four-star or five-star, in the case of Eisenhower, they're very willing to get into the political fray. Whether you're running for president like Eisenhower or Grant, or just taking the political side, I don't feel offended by him entering the political fray as a retiree at all. What do you think, J.D.?
Wow, you know, he can do whatever he wants. I agree. However, I would be hard pressed if you had a shotgun to my genitalia to endorse either one of those candidates. I mean, there must have been like a little dude underneath the podium with a shotgun. I don't know. I would be hard pressed. And maybe it's my,
you mean relative to his motive, JD?
The motive? I don't know what it
is. No. When you say there must have been a little dude underneath the stage with the shotgun, you mean relative to General Allen's motive for doing this?
Yes, I did. Yeah. Probably the motive is Secretary of Defense, maybe. I'm not sure what it is, but it just kind of baffled me. I couldn't endorse either one of them without the shotgun. And even with, probably.
Even with the shotgun to your genitalia, you'd still say no?
I'd probably say no, yeah. I think I would. That's giving up a lot.
That's a man who certainly doesn't respect his genitalia. Or his sex life, or his wife's sex life. That's a pretty interesting comment. Let's talk about that then. Because I think all of us acknowledge that we're not good. I can tell you this. I'm not good with either candidate. I said, you know, this past week when I don't know when it was announced that he would speak, but I started getting emails about it. And I said, I looked up and, you know, sure as shit, he's going to speak. And I'm scratching my head because I don't like her. Right? I don't like the way she conducts business. And there's no getting around that she, the whole thing about another Marine officer, does character matter? And so I think character matters to all of us. So you look at that and you scratch your head and you say, and we all know General Allen, right? JD, did you know him?
I did, yes.
Okay. Let's talk about it. Straight shooter, straight as an arrow.
Straight as an arrow.
Yeah, geeky straight as an arrow. Jess?
Oh, Jesus. Not only is he incredibly intelligent and capable, but he strikes me as a guy who's embodied with humility and humanity. I would have predicted long ago that he would be just morally appalled by Donald Trump's self-centeredness and his willingness to insult people and advocating torture. I that part of the speech did not surprise me one bit that he's appalled by Donald Trump's behavior.
But I would submit to you that he would be equally appalled at her, call them ethical failures, leadership failures. First of all, I mean, the failure to take responsibility for what happened in Benghazi, to walk out at that hearing and say, hey, I'm responsible for all of this. Right, I take complete responsibility for it. It happened on my watch in the one question court martial. I was in charge. Right, so whatever criticism you have, you know, lays at my feet, and I accept that. You know what? And then all that nonsense that went on, and then her deliberate lapses relative to, you know, classified information. I got NJP'd by a general officer for something not even close to that, right? I don't know if you know that, JT. I hope you don't. That doesn't affect my opinion of me. But
I'm not sure. I should be on the radio with you now.
but that's the truth. But that's not a small deal, right? When somebody that's a Secretary of State is passing top secret information repeatedly on an unclassified net that's deliberately constructed to get around right? The classification system and the restriction of information so she can sound smarter wherever she is on the planet, and you're giving that information away. That's not something that any of us take lightly. So, I mean, JD, I'm sympathetic when, and Jess is too. If you put a shotgun to my balls, who am I picking? Now, I don't know if I love my balls a little bit more than you, JD, but I pick somebody.
I can't pick though, Mac. You know, for him in the speech to say, we trust her judgment.
Yep.
We trust her judgment. We believe in her vision. I mean, I guess when you go in, you got to go all in. But
well, let me ask you about that. Let's talk about the speech in the way he delivered it. Did the way he delivered the speech? Let me tell you, I know him. Right, I worked next to him for 2 straight years. I've never seen that guy in my life. So when he went in, he went all in last night. Yes.
Oh yeah.
Were you surprised?
I was surprised, but I guess I shouldn't be, right? If you're going in, you got to go all in.
I know, I was surprised, and the way he delivered the speech, he's a pretty soft-spoken intellectual, I dare you to go on YouTube today and look at every piece of video you can find of that guy. You won't see that the guy who gave that speech last night in any of it. Jess?
That was the surprise. The strength of conviction that he came out in support of Hillary. I did not appreciate how closely he had worked with her when she was Secretary of State, when he was trying to unify all forces there in Afghanistan. So he clearly, I don't believe he would get up there and compromise his own integrity. I think he really sees a strength and perhaps a greatness in her, and he's willing to get behind her 100%. Just before he went on the podium, I jumped on YouTube and took a look at a 10-minute interview he gave to Katie Couric, and it disarmed me. He just said, I really believe in Hillary Clinton. She helped us in Afghanistan. She shaped the theater. So that was all very new information for me.
And so, but now let me ask you this, Jess. Are you a Hillary guy? Were you a Hillary guy before? Tell me about you.
I was on the fence of just abstaining.
For the reasons JD talked about. For the shotgun to the balls, I don't want to pick.
Yeah. Well, and I'm, Jesus, it may be even for the dumbest reasons. I just emotionally didn't like Hillary from her first lady days.
Right.
I picked up one of her biographies, autobiographies, her first one, a decade ago. And I read the first chapter, and I had to put it down because I was liking her too much. I decided I didn't want to be swayed. But with General Allen's endorsement, I could, in more good conscience, vote for Hillary and her administration. If she has earned his respect, that speaks volumes. As a matter of fact, this great author, Max Boot, you know, he's written on international diplomacy and military history.
Right.
He tweeted this morning that everybody on the planet who knows John Allen knows he's totally apolitical.
Right.
And just his presence in that Democratic convention just speaks volumes all by itself, let alone getting on the podium.
So what do you think? So what do you think? And JD, let me ask you first. You're scratching your head. Like, why would he do this? Okay. And like, he didn't go, I expected him to go out and kind of give a little bit of a lecture about why this made sense. I did not go expect him to go out and go Teddy Roosevelt on us, you know? And so why, JD, tell me why. Why would a guy that's apolitical and he is straight as an arrow geek, why would he go all in for her? And it's not, let me tell you, and you know, if you put a gun to his head and said, if you do this, I'll make you SecDef, or I'll make you NSA, or I'll make you, Secretary of State. One of those three. Allen, he'd take the bullet straight to the temple. He'd say, you know, he'd say, go screw yourself. But he wouldn't say screw. See, I was being polite right there. He would use a different term. No, I mean, honestly, he would say, go fuck yourself. Blow my brains out. I won't do it. He's that guy. And he believes that. So why do you think he would do that?
Shoot, Mac, it baffles me, the whole thing baffles me. Obviously, maybe just like was said, he believes in her. I'm not sure why. Obviously, I haven't been exposed to all the things that he's been exposed to, and I don't know all the information he knows, but even if I did, I can never see coming there. So I don't, who knows what motivates any of us, and I don't know what's motivating him, but it baffles me.
Right. So you're baffled this morning. What most bothered you about his speech?
Well, the trust in her judgment and her vision, which I haven't seen a lot of judgment or vision from either candidate, and then the murder comment. And obviously, understanding who it was pointed at, but the murder comment kind of bothered me in that I don't see our Marines even if ordered murdering anybody. I thought it was kind of an insult.
Oh, did he? Now, I thought he was alluding to Trump's.
Oh, he was, yes, definitely. But just to, I don't know, just to say that we are capable as a Marine Corps of if being ordered by a president, whoever it was, to go out and mass murder, I think is kind of insulting in a way.
All right, just. Your thoughts, both good and bad, about the speech?
I am proud of any Marine who will get up and speak the truth as he sees it when it's greatly self-risking. And you just like General Zinni coming out against the war in Iraq, just thought we were manufacturing a case to go to war. I admire the hell out of that. I thought what was inspiring, you know, I heard loud and clear from Alan is when he would say things like, you know, to all of our allies, you know, our friends overseas, listen closely. We're with you. America's not going to abandon you. So that international role he played, I think he is keenly sensitive to, if we're going to whip ISIS, we just can't do it alone. And that it is, I think that is part of what has fostered his support for Hillary, that, again, he saw something with her when he was working with her as Secretary of State. So I do think he is motivated by the highest ideal, world peace. That's where I am.
You know, I do too. But again, like both of you, you know, Jesse, you said that you were just going to abstain from voting. JD said,
yeah.
You know, you said that, you know, this is not a vote that I really care to cast, and don't know what I'd do. I mean, to me, General Allen's not stupid. I mean, but what I believe is he's seen the things that Donald Trump has said, and after being a combatant, both in Iraq and Afghanistan, and led in both theaters, he doesn't think the nation can afford Donald Trump in terms of where we're at relative to the work that, you know, all three of us have done. And, you know, and a lot of blood that's been shed. And he looks at that and he says, this is just me. And again, he's going to come on next week, I think, and talk about it, and I'll ask him. But and said, the nation can't stand that. We need, you know, and again, I would tell you, we need the lesser of two evils. And I would think when he looks at it, she's at least been Secretary of State. She's been a senator. She's been part of these things. And he, as JD said, I don't know what he's seen. Well, I don't know what he's seen either, because I was surprised as hell early in the week to even read that he was speaking. But, you know, what I know of him, he's seen her, you know, in discussions, and he believes enough in her to go all in with her, and more importantly, I think in his mind, to keep Donald Trump from becoming the President of the United States, which he must see as tremendously destructive. So I you know, to me, that's my take. Now, let me read you a couple emails. Now, remember, this is all Marine Radio. This is our clientele. The first one is a religious icon that says St. Mattis of Quantico, patron saint of chaos, and it has General Mattis, has General Mattis with the kind of the glowing gold thing around his head, and which I don't know how appropriate that is. In his right hand, he's got kind of that kind of sign of peace with a hand grenade in it, and his left hand, it's kind of elevated with a K-bar in it. So obviously the Mattis for our president group is out there. Next email says, I'm going to vomit listening to him, meaning General Allen. And then the email goes on to say, I never knew he was a homo lover. So there you have that. And then the next email, he had to have done something really bad, and the Clintons have video of it. So, again, struggling with his motive. Another email, does character matter? If character matters, how could he ever support her? JD, is that where you're at?
With the character of matters, yeah, that's where I'm at. I think you made a great point on choosing the lesser of two evils, but that lesser evil we've witnessed for the past 8 years, I think, and all the treasure we lost in blood in Iraq and Afghanistan, we kind of saw it. It was all for nothing for the past 8 years as our strategy has just kind of been schizophrenic and drifted. So I don't see how we could sign up for more of that.
You mean more of our schizophrenic strategy?
Yeah, more of a, drifting strategy and Middle East and turmoil. Right. I just don't know. I don't know if it is a lesser evil than.
So for you, JD, the jury's out relative to where the true evil really lies.
Hell, I think at this point, I think it lies with both of them.
All right, you're not making me. Again, this discussion is not making anybody feel good. does character matter, or is character trumped by? Do you have to overlook character flaws? How do I phrase this? Does Trump's craziness trump her lack of character?
Yeah, I suppose it does. Now, I would be a horrible political leader. the backdoor shenanigans that apparently must be required to get things done. Just thinking historically, we partnered with Joseph Stalin and the Soviets to beat the Nazis. So if we're going to partner with a guy who's going to, kill 20, 30 million of his own people in the name of beating or killing a worse tyrant, Jesus. I don't think FDR was a morally irresponsible guy for partnering with Stalin and Mao in that whole World War II effort. So I just don't see giving Hillary some support if you're really cause minded on dealing with ISIS as a complete breach of integrity. It's hard though. Any look at the historical record, even in the White House, it is pretty clear that we're willing to forgive our political leaders for doing things that are illegal at times.
Wait. Who's we? Who's we? Because we're not.
America.
America is. But we're not.
Take Abraham Lincoln. He was willing to. It's portrayed right there in the movie Lincoln. Him willing to more or less buy congressmen to get that 14th Amendment passed to abolish slavery. Well, that's not playing by the rules, but anyway. Hillary Clinton.
Did you just give us over that broad moral reservation? But again, this group that you'll hear from today, we're not representative of America. We are representative of the Marine Corps in some instance. We are conservative by nature. We are committed by lifestyle and principle. and we fought for this country, and we care about it, and we care about its international obligations, because we've been there and we've seen it. As JD just said, we've been part of the killing, we've been part of the rescuing, and then to see it all go away, you know, and sit there on the sideline and say, yeah, you know, well, I guess we won't say anything. It's just, well, whatever you want to do. That's the culture that we're a part of. And we don't forgive, and we tend not to forget, and we sure as hell don't go away very easily. And so I think that's what you're hearing about. So so really, that the question, does character matter? Now, if you apply it to both of them, where does that leave you? It leaves you, I think, where JD is, with a shotgun to your balls and not sure what you're going to do. Oh, nobody.
Yeah,
wants
it's
to
like. Go ahead, JD.
Oh no, kind of tagging off of what you said on backdoor deals and not knowing what's going on, and it's kind of like, I don't know if y'all have ever seen that TV show Veep. It's like I'm having a hard time separating reality from fiction now on what's going on with this. Of this campaign and what dope deals are going down to get things to happen. And, character has to matter. And none of us have perfect character, but I think we can find, we don't have the luxury, but we can find some candidates who have a little more character.
Yeah. You know what? But this is what the system gives us. The two people with the greatest name recognition and the ability to raise the most money. And I don't know if Trump, because Trump's having a tough time with Republicans who won't support him. And so, we'll see where it goes. But, if character matters, when you look at him, what's your conclusion? So if we look at her and say she fails, we'll do it Marine Corps style. Hillary Clinton, pass or fail character test. Jess?
Oh, that's a failure.
All right. JD, I'm going to ask you rhetorically, does she pass or fail?
Yes, a failure.
All right. How about him? Does Don Trump character test, does he pass? JD?
No, I don't think he does. Huh?
Jess?
Oh, complete failure. Of course, hellfire, everybody's in the gray area.
No, we're not. He's not in the gray area. That's our point, though.
Obviously,
if he was in the fucking gray area, we could have a discussion about it. But JD's going to get his balls blown off because he won't pick the guy. He won't say Trump or Hillary, and he won't say it because he looks at Trump and says, "Are you shitting me?" So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. And so to me, you know, let's talk historically. So who we have? So Washington. He gets done with the revolution. He goes home. They come to him and they say, hey, we want you to be the president. And he says, okay. So he runs and he's elected. Right? Washington's, I think, greatest gift is he goes home and allows peaceful transition to, who was the second president? John Adams?
Mm-hmm.
And then who's the next military guy, big politics, that, Andy Jackson?
Yeah, he was the next general. Monroe was a captain in the American Revolution.
That doesn't even count, does it? Does it count, JD? Captain count? Skipper, Devil Dog, what's up? So Andrew Jackson, isn't Harrison, isn't he a military guy?
Yep, he sure was.
What was he? Was he a Lance Corporal or something? What did he do?
No, he's a general.
Oh, so Harrison counts. Then Grant. McKinley was a coffee runner at Gettysburg, I think. Or Antietam. No, at Antietam. Sharpsburg, as it's known to you southern dudes. Where you got your ass. No, they won there. They won in the cornfield. That was a bad day. September 17th, man. Bloodiest day in American combat history.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. And so.
I think Zachary Taylor was in there too.
Zachary Taylor, military guy.
Yeah.
So,
Eisenhower.
Okay. So I got an earful from a very good friend of mine yesterday about why military guys shouldn't do that. JD, what do you think?
Shouldn't get into politics?
Yeah.
No, I think I should.
Sebastian Younger told me we need you guys in politics because we have lost our way. We need you to bring us back to more of your culture, your level of commitment, your level of idealism, your steadfastness, the way you stand by each other. We need that from you because we're losing it. I said, yeah, well, we don't want you guys. You guys don't like us. We don't want you.
No, I think he's right. And I think, it's a penny if you got a, military guy sending sons and daughters to war. It's always a penny. I think, there's a lot of, reflection, a lot more reflection that will go into it, a lot more, thought, and not just on whether it's worth it, but what the end state is, or if you do have, someone who's been there, involved in the process.
Okay, so none of the three of us have a broad mental reservation relative to his doing this in the first place.
No, I don't at all.
And Jess, you don't either.
No, not at all. I support any Marine running for office.
All right. So, do you think that he should resign, or he should give back his pension, and live off some other means? Do you think he should go to that length? Is that necessary?
No, I don't think that's necessary. I don't think so. No.
All right. I'm just checking because these are things that I've heard a lot. Let me tell you, if I could characterize the reaction of the Marine Corps that I've heard from, they're pissed and they don't understand because they hate her with a passion. Actively hate her with a passion. Don't understand why he's doing this. And then they were absolutely shocked out of their skivvies last night when not only did he come on, when he came on and he went all in and he burned it down for her. They were like, what the hell was that? And that was him being all in. And I guess if you're going to go in, being all in is the way to do it. But it was certainly, I was certainly surprised. And I know him pretty well. And I was surprised. So what other thoughts do you have about the speech, JD?
About the what, Matt?
About the speech.
I think, the telling our allies that we're not going to abandon them, I think they've come to expect hearing that from us. I think that's falling on deaf ears. We talked last time about when we decided to pull out of Afghanistan, and in 2011, they were like, you're doing it to us again. We have no faith in you anymore. You did it to us with the Russians. You did it to us in 2003, and now you're doing it to us again. And I think the world is just used to hearing that line. We have to change something dramatically in order for anybody to believe in that from us anymore. It can't just be words. I talked to an old veteran the other day. And he was at the exact same point before Reagan was elected. He was like, why are we going to elect this actor to office? And, he said, our country's going to go down the shitter. And then he, 8 years later, he was like, wow, was I wrong? I'm hoping maybe, wow, was I wrong on this one though, Matt?
Yeah. You know what? For me, it's a one issue thing, and I don't care about her character. And you know what? And somebody just sent an email. Mac, I'm curious to hear your perspective with your two sons on active duty. My perspective with two sons on active duty doesn't change at all. And I don't think it matters whether you have sons on active duty if you've served. My perspective is like JD's and like Jess's. If you've seen the sacrifice that Marines and soldiers and sailors and airmen have made for this country, that's what colors you. You can't walk away from it, and you need somebody who's up to the task. And I will tell you that it sickens me, that this is the choice. This is what our political system gives us. somebody who you would have to say, yeah, I have to overlook all the character flaws to cast my vote in that direction. Or you have to look at the other one and say, yeah, I have to overlook all the character flaws over there and the lack of experience and the crazy rhetoric in order to, you know, vote there. And poor JD, he's going to get his balls blown off because he's not going to vote for either one of them. And you know what? And to me, that's where, as more people, I think, seriously sit down and think about it, that's the position they're at, which is, and again, I would say Alan makes me reminisce about Zinni prior to Iraq, which is, we all know General Zinni. And I mean, to me, when I heard him talk the first time, I was like, who is this dude, man? He's the smartest, most down-to-earth, spot-on guy I've ever heard. And now he's telling me that we shouldn't go? Well, if he's telling me, then I got to read because I'm like JD. I don't understand. I don't understand. So I don't have any other, I don't have any other point of view than I believe JD and Jess has, which is, we got to be better, and we can't afford to screw that up. And we've already, you know, we've already mucked it around once, and so we're going to fight again. When they just announced yesterday, advisors now down to the battalion level for the Iraqi army, which means more advisors heading into harm's way. And so, you know, and so it goes. Well, you know, as we ramp it back up in Afghanistan, you know, will the same thing happen? I don't see how it doesn't happen. You know, you can only drone them so long. And we need to stop this bullshit saying we're winning. I don't want to hear that anymore. You know, I don't want to hear that discussion at all. Just say we're on it. What does a guy say in Pulp Fiction? I'm on it. I'm on it, Jules. Yeah, I'm He says something. Yeah, he says more than that, but I won't say it. But anyway, I'm on it, Jules. Tell those people to chill the F out. Anyway, it's a great scene if you've never seen it. But that's all I want to hear. I want to hear that we're on it, okay? And I don't want to hear bullshit. And tough day, tough day. All right, other thoughts relative to either candidate or the election from the perspective of Marine officers? J.D.?
Well, kind of back to your last theme, though, I thought it was pretty on whether your sons influence your opinion and how you feel about it. I thought it was interesting that both VP candidates have a Marine officer son.
How about that? Boom, everybody. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, they're not Army officers. They're Marine officers. Yeah, exactly. So what does that mean? That means I'll tell you what. That means we'll have interested vice presidents.
It does. It sure does. That's right.
Because they're all in. Both of them. They're all in. So, Jess, other points either about the election, the candidates, or the speech?
Yeah, I just love that last point you all made. To have two vice presidential candidates with Marine officers in, it changes. It changes my faith in the leadership. Franklin Roosevelt's oldest son was the XO of the 1st Raider Battalion. So he was interested in what was going on in World War II in that Pacific theater. It changes you. I like this idea of more people serving and going into political leadership as opposed to just corporate leadership. That's all I got.
All right. All right. JD, any final thoughts?
No, I appreciate you having me. It's awesome.
Hey, good luck with you and your ball sack, man. Hope for your sake and your family's sake you get to keep that thing.
I'll send it to you if
yeah, if they blow it off. Hey, look, you could just take a picture. Say, hey, Mac, I never did cast a vote, bro. Send a picture.
We'll
you don't need that.
We'll get it stopped and put it in the Marine Corps Museum or something.
You know what? That would be, we could probably craft a little leadership vignette about that. This guy, Harold, he was so committed to his independence. Wouldn't cast his vote. Here he was. All right. Hey, first of all, Jess Humphreys, appreciate the visit. And J.D., Jess is down in San Diego. J.D. Harold, and where in Mississippi, J.D.?
Canton, Mississippi.
Canton, Mississippi. Any big plans for the weekend?
No, no big plans.
You're like not gonna. What kind of trees they got? Don't they have some like crazy kind of trees, sycamore trees or something? No big. Like, what do you get? You go fishing, sip a little gin, or what do you do? What do you do in Mississippi, man?
We basically just sit around on the front porch, wave to people, and watch cars go by, drink a little moonshine, eat some cornbread, stuff like that. Excited.
He's not, you know what? I wish he was lying. He's trying to make it sound like the stereotype isn't true because he's funning with it, but it is. Trust me, we know. All right, Jess, how about you? Big plans for the weekend?
Oh, you know us Southern California boys.
Exactly.
We'll mosey on down to the surf and take a swim in that ocean. That's pretty good living.
All right. Hey, first of all, I want to thank you for coming on. I'll tell you, much discussion today, a lot of pissed off Marines, a lot of Marines scratching their heads. About you know what he did last night. So I love this discussion, and I love to do it with articulate guys, thoughtful guys, and guys who have a lot of military experience with tough ethical decisions, not only done in peacetime but done in combat as well. So thank you too for coming on this morning. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, Matt.
All right, there you have it, J.D. Harrell and Jess Humphries. Let me tell you, guys that are the best, when people talk about the best and brightest this country has, you just heard from two of them right there. Men, okay? Men that aren't afraid of the sound of the guns. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to have Mike Pesnola on. Mike, a retired colonel in the United States Marine Corps. He now at Tufts University. And leading a leadership program there. And then a guy you heard, like I said, probably almost a month ago, Jack Hoban. And Jack is a very interesting guy, somebody that I had a great conversation with on here and then forgot to record the damn thing. But anyway, Jack, part of Resolution Group International, and he's a driver of the Marine Corps Martial Arts Program, and then also transitioning that. The concept of the ethical warrior in the Marine Corps and then the ethical guardian with law enforcement people. So, Jack, an incredibly interesting guy. They'll join us. We'll talk about the same stuff, get more opinion. And, again, your email, your text messages, always welcome. Send a text to 714-661-8107. You can email live.allmarineradio@gmail.com or you could call the program, 714-884-4294. We'll take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on the All Warrior Radio Network.